I would invite you to turn to John chapter 14, reading verses 4 through 6, though we will touch on some others in there as well. In the Pew Bible is page 938. You may not even need to turn, but I would invite you to do so. John 14, 4 through 6. "And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Actually thought about just a while ago, since the title is "Glory Be to the Father," that we all sing the Gloria Patri. "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen." But we'll not do that. So how many people have you saved? The question came from a colleague of mine who was preparing for ministry as an evangelist. "None that I know of," was my reply, as you looked at me with something of a look of disbelief. He said, "Well, I got," and then he gave me a number, "saved last year and hope to do better this year." I had a good idea of what he was thinking, as a look of pride etched itself upon his face. And I know it would surprise y'all to hear this, but I was in one of those moods. And I said, "So since when did you become God?" And before he could say anything, I said, "I thought he's the only one that saved folks." Sputtering a bit, he finally responded to me and said, "Well, he does, but we got to help get him in." And that's true. I agree. We are charged with helping persons come to Jesus, come to know who he is, come to experience something of his presence and his grace. But he's the one who does the saving. And he doesn't do the saving for our glory, so that we can have those looks of pride etched upon our faces. He does so for the glory of God, and so that people can say, "Glory be to the Father." And that's really what I want us to think about today, is as we follow Jesus, who we say is the way, the truth, and the life, how do our lives, and do our lives, really say "Glory be to the Father"? Now, of course, the passage today is most often read at someone's funeral. And there the emphasis is on where this one has gone after their death. And that is a very, very important consideration. And I think it's very appropriate. But at this particular point in time in Jesus' ministry, the disciples had a much more pressing question. Jesus had spoken pretty clearly about returning to the Father. And the disciples at this point were worried. They were worried about being left alone. Nobody with whom to throw the frisbee. They were worried about being left alone after Jesus departed. So just prior to this, Jesus, knowing that and having experienced some of their questions earlier, speaks of rooms in his Father's house and of coming again. Now, we often translate it mansions, but the Greek word is monai, rooms. And by the way, this word for rooms is only found in this chapter in the New Testament. It's the only place this Greek word is used. In this verse, in these verses here at the beginning, and also in verse 23, when it's translated home. As Bill Hull, former colleague of mine, notes, and I quote, "The reference to the way in which Christians can learn to live at home in this world after the incarnation is because the exalted Christ and His Father will come again to abide with them in spiritual fellowship." End of quote. In other words, to be in Christ's fellowship and the fellowship of God in this world, we are at home. We're already experiencing or have the opportunities to experience the beginnings of those rooms with God. And it's not just about those rooms and being at home with God after this life, but rather about experiencing that being home with God and being at home with God even as we live our lives here in preparation for that final connection. This fellowship with the abiding presence of the Spirit also means that the place Jesus speaks of preparing is initially reached, as I said a moment ago, not just after death, but initially we reach it whenever we come to know God through Jesus' saving work. That's when we get a glimpse into the room, into the home. And so Jesus was trying to give His disciples that sense of presence, trying to put at least somewhat to rest their fears, their worries about being left alone now that He was gone. What are we going to do now? And so now I want to take a different approach to the focal passage. At this point, Jesus wants to assure them that they know the way where He is going, and He is going there by death. Some manuscripts read, "Where I am going, you know, and the way, you also know." And immediately, our good old buddy Thomas speaks up. "Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how in the world can we know the way?" Thomas really wants a road map. I don't like road maps. Not in the car, anyway. You never can get those things unfolded just right. And it takes almost a graduate degree to learn to fold them up the right way. But Thomas wanted to know. He wanted a road map. He said, We don't have a clue. What he's indicating here is they really don't understand the goal. The goal of what Jesus is trying to accomplish for them and in them. Most any person who has ever been in a church, especially for regular study and worship or for a funeral of a Christian, knows what comes next from Jesus when He responds, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me." Yet I think there is something here more than just a nice platitude to settle our consciences, or an almost cursory way that people flippantly use those words. Sometimes I think we overuse them and in the wrong way with the wrong attitude. The destination itself was the Father, or as Joseph Dongell writes, the relationship with the Father was the destination of which Jesus spoke. Strengthening and maintaining that relationship that He already had with the Father. And by saying, "You know where I'm going, and you know the way For I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was also inviting his disciples to get there in relationship as well. How do we get to the destination? A close relationship with God the Father? One word. Actually, a name. Jesus. For Jesus is the pathway for us to reach the Father. But these words are spoken so often, and sometimes without really thinking about them. What does he really mean by the words he spoke? First, we need to notice that Jesus did not say that he points the way to the Father. There's a difference in pointing the way and being the way. We point the way as we're on the road. Jesus doesn't say, I'm pointing the way to the Father. He replies that he is the true and living way, and that is what they really need to know. Jesus is the living way to the Father. And they can begin to follow in the right direction even before seeing the ultimate destination. Union with Christ, he says, is the one way to God and to the Father's home. To be united with him. The way is not merely a set of principles, though. The way is not just a list of truths that we repeat and then go on about our business. It's not a list of truths taught by Jesus or about Jesus, even though these are important guidelines. For you see, there was not a separation between Jesus and his words and the loyalty he expects from you and me. Arthur John Gossett writes, and I quote, "Other teachers have used that symbol, that is the way. Other teachers have used that symbol. For example, Buddha claiming to be a rediscoverer of an old path into the reality of things. Or Lao Tzu, that's the founder of Taoism, calling his dark teachings the way. So Christ states, I am the way." End of quote. It's not like the Buddha who found an old path and said, follow this path. Or Lao Tzu who says, these teachings will help you to find the Tao and find your way with the Tao. But rather, Jesus doesn't say, here, follow these rules and you can be on the path that I am on. Rather, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the path itself. Which is unique. Jesus is unique. He also claims to be the truth. The truth. The divine reality. The goal of thought and all effort is the truth. This is not some special secret, some esoteric knowledge like the Gnostics had. Jesus is not only truth as opposed to falsehood, he is the one who is complete and in whom we may be made complete. Not truths about Jesus, but Jesus as the truth. He is the way to God because in him, and I'm quoting Gossett here, men at last come upon the truth about him, learn to know him as he really is, and by seeing all in Christ, with a new hope and heart, they can and do come boldly by the new and living way which Jesus consecrates for them. End of quote. John Marsh writes, "This is not an intellectual proposition or a system of truths. but the embodiment in human life of the true life of God, the divine Father, revealing His nature to us. Knowing that Jesus is the truth. In Jesus we find the true nature of God, the divine Father of all. We have a new hope. We have a new heart. And we have those not because we're so great or we follow the principles, but because Jesus Himself consecrates us and the truth in which we live. I am the way, the truth, and then Jesus says, the life. He overturns those physical and spiritual deaths that threaten us. Jesus Himself becomes the substance of the life that we live if we truly walk with Him. If we truly see Him as the path and the way. Jesus Himself is the substance of life. Then the climactic statement comes, no one comes to the Father or to the fatherhood of God except through me. Just my quirky little way of looking at things sometimes. I've said before, some people say walk by the Spirit, and that's what they do. They walk right by it. And yes, we often and most often translate this. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except by me. And I know while we might in our minds understand that that means through Him, some people, believe it or not, try to get to the Father. There He is. I'm going by Him. By Jesus. Trying so many other ways to get there than coming through Jesus. And there is a difference. Disciples can be sure that God is the one waiting for them at the end of their pilgrimage through life if we come through Jesus. We have that promise that it is God Himself waiting for us if we come through Jesus. God has permitted Himself to be seen and experienced in the earthly life of Jesus, but also because Jesus and the Father are one in perfect relationship of Father and Son. There is no other earthly entity. There is no other heavenly entity that can lead us to God as Father. Not like Jesus can. Not only through death to everlasting life, but I would submit in and through life into life. John Marsh, in a book on the Gospel of John, wrote, Jesus' answer here further articulates the high sense of Christology of the fourth evangelist. It is not the case that Jesus is away from the Father and must therefore find and tread a new way to Him. He is the way Himself. It is not the case that there is a truth about the Father which Jesus has to learn and then pass on. Rather, He is the truth Himself. It is not the case that the Father has eternal life, which He will give to the Son when the Son gets there, so that the Son can then bestow life on us. Jesus is the life Himself. And no other approach to the Father can be made other than the one which has been opened in the incarnation of the eternal Word, Jesus, the Christ. at this point, as they're sitting there and pondering what Jesus has just said, and I'm sure they were pondering, and some of them were thinking, it's going right here. Philip responds. Philip responds and says, show us the Father. Jesus, I can't believe you've been with me so long and you don't yet understand. He says that to see Him and speak with Him is to see and speak with the Father. And to see Him and to speak with Him is glory to the Father. Jesus' presence, not only then but now, His death and His glorification is the place and the time where the eyes of men and women can finally see and understand God. Both Thomas and Philip indicate by their statements, and probably others in the group were thinking along the same lines, they presumed that the Father was other than the Son and did not really understand that unity between Father and Son. But Jesus tells us that His Word and His works are spoken and done with and through the authority of the Father. And to bring glory, not to us, but to the Father. All He has said, all that Jesus has promised, flows from who He is in relationship with Father. And so, Jesus calls us, you and me, and not just today, but each day, to a life of adventure. Jesus calls us to a life of the grandest experiment and discovery of who He is and who we are called to be through Him. As one poet, philosopher wrote, it is only the godlike who can see God. Or as Christ said, only the pure in heart. That's a daunting task for anyone. It was a daunting task for those disciples in that time period who were predominantly fishers, a tax collector thrown in, a couple of others. But quite frankly, over 20 centuries later, it is still a daunting task. And no less so than what they faced. But it is that to which Jesus calls and challenges us. To know Him as the way, the truth, the life. To come to the Father through Him means that we not only know the Father knows us. But it also means that we are called to offer our lives and the things that we do and say to bring glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, world without end, in Him. Amen and amen. May we pray. Lord, so many things that we do, so many things that we say, really don't bring glory to You. For that we are truly sorry. But also we ask that You would help us. Help us to know, not just because of a statement or a list of precepts, but to truly know within our hearts, within our minds, and with our entire being, that You are the way, the truth, the life, and that through You and in You we find not only the fatherhood of God, but we find ways to bring glory to Him. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 602. I've decided to follow Jesus. That's the challenge that He gives to each one of us. It's a challenge that I have, and not just when I was 8 years old or in my 20s, but it's a challenge for today and for tomorrow. As we stand and as we sing, may that truly be what we seek, is to find our way to God through the Son. Number 602, I've decided to follow Jesus.